You're listening to The Plug with Neil Griffith.
All right. Hey, everybody. How you doing? Welcome to another episode of The Plug Podcast with me, Neil Griffiths. Thanks for listening to the episode. It's another big one. I've got UK heavyweight James Bay joining me on this week's show. James has just released his third studio album, Leap, which is out everywhere right now. The last time I would have spoke to James would have been at the Splendor in the Grass Festival, backstage at Byron Bay, and I remember that was like 2 or 3 months after his second album, Electric Light, had just come out. And the boy was a ball of energy. He was so upbeat, he was so happy. The shows I remember seeing in Sydney, he was so great. But as the story goes, the following year he fell into a dark hole creatively in his personal life, which was the start of the journey to this third album. So this podcast and this episode with James kind of starts at that 2018 interview we did backstage at Splendor and moves all the way to now and what happened and how he got to the spot he did, how he got out of that hole. It's a really fascinating chat, and James is always so good to catch up with, and it's so good to see him back at that place I did see him in 2018. So, without further ado, here is James Bay with me on The Plug Podcast. Check it out. James Bay. James, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, man.
Where are you right now? What time is it? What are you doing?
I'm in London. It's 1 p.m., just gone. I feel like you're in New York. Is it true?
Correct. I am in New York. This is my fridge and microwave behind me. Welcome.
Fantastic. Welcome to my plants and doors and mirrors and walls.
Dude, congratulations on Leap. As we record this, we are 24 to 48 hours away from release. How are Correct. You feeling right now, man?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling all the nerves and excitement and anxiety that I've felt when on the sort of eve of releasing a whole album. Because, you know, it takes a lot of work, and it took a lot of time, and then it took waiting for a sort of pandemic to pretty much clear out the way, which was unexpected, and took about 2 years of extra time, which was kind of a blessing in disguise, which I'll go into. But also, it's great to be able to sort of finally put it out into the world. We don't live in a world with a particularly kind of long attention span, and I'm just as much to blame. I'm just as much to blame. So it's always a nerve-wracking thing in that respect as well, because you want people to spend time with an album. And we don't quite live in that world anymore. Some people like to spend time with an album still, which is a wonderful thing. But yeah, it's been a long road for all sorts of reasons. And I'm so excited that we're finally here and it's time to release it.
Yeah, so there's no reason that you should remember this. But I last interviewed you backstage at Splendor in the Grass in 2018. I don't know if you remember, we were sitting on those awful inflatable beanbag chairs. That would have been like
nobody.
No, no one's. But that would have been like 2 or 3 months after Electric Light came out. So just for people listening and just to build a base on from then to now, Electric Light had just come out. The album was awesome. Yeah. The show, I saw you at Splendor and at your headline show in Sydney. The crowds were awesome. You seemed in good spirits. I did like 48 interviews that weekend, and you were one of the best purely because of how upbeat and energetic you were.
I'm glad. I came away from that show and I got a cold.
So did I. Like pneumonia.
Yeah, mine was almost that bad, but I had to do a bunch of shows. Yeah, it was a shame, but it was also a great time. Yeah, man, I remember it well. It was wonderful to be at Splendor. I talked about getting to do it for a few years before then, so it was great to finally go, and I'd love to go back.
Yeah. The reason I bring it up, though, is because the story goes, leading to this album, the next year, you kind of hit a wall. So just for a little context, between 2018 and Electric Light and things seemingly being awesome to 2019, where were you at?
Things were awesome, and I went very hard and fast at Electric Light and the touring of it, and it was a whirlwind in its own way, and a brilliant time. And then in 2019, it was like the Christmas 2018. I've been doing a bit of writing around that time, and I put together a few songs, and I had a great time writing with a brilliant artist called Julia Michaels, who was a friend of mine, and we released a song called Peer Pressure. It came as part of an EP of mine, in 2019. So music was coming through sort of thick and fast. And it ground to a bit of a halt for me, sort of behind the scenes, because I just hit a wall and I didn't know where I was going next, what the direction was. And I'd been on a real roll, particularly around Electric Light. It felt very much like my sort of duty as an artist to sort of evolve and explore something else. And I just typically am not the type of person who wants to make the same album again. But I don't know how that will evolve going forward. Too many of my heroes change it up. And I just love that, and I admire it, and I am inspired by it. Obvious sort of answers would be, or examples. Obvious examples would probably be David Bowie, Prince. A less obvious example, but I'll reference a great moment in his career, is Bruce Springsteen typically slings a guitar on and talks about times and struggles and very sort of human realities. And I love a lot of his albums, but Nebraska was an amazing moment where he really switched it up. So it's all my favorite artists are capable of it, and I want to be capable of it as well. So I enjoy changing things up. And in 2019, I wasn't sure what my next sort of step would be. And then I started to sort of doubt myself as an artist going forward. And it's hard to talk about all this stuff, and I'm trying to find ways to do it because it's so informed the music I've made on this third album, Leap. But yeah, I sort of slipped into an almost bottomless kind of pool of sadness and insecurity and anxiety. So whilst in 2019, I was touring all around the world still, and I even got to go out with Ed Sheeran for 3 months, I think, and we were in sports stadiums playing to 80,000 people a night. It was unbelievable. And behind the scenes, like I say, sort of beneath the surface, I was feeling completely lost. It was almost sort of imposter syndrome was kind of the feeling. Who am I then? What you know, how do I go from this to the next thing, and what is it? It made it sort of weirdly hilarious that it was followed by a global pandemic. Mm. Because nobody wanted that to happen, and I didn't need it, like nobody needed that. But I wrote because writing is a therapy. Writing is a type of therapy for me and for so many songwriters. I wrote a lot of sad songs. That kind of thing comes quite naturally to me. I put them all in a big pile. I kind of moved away from them later in that year, and I looked back at it and I thought a lot of this was a process, but these 1, 2, 3 songs, I don't know how many it was, they actually feel like something that I can carry forward. They feel like the foundation of something, maybe a third album, because they had like a silver lining to them. They had a moment as the songs progressed where there was hope in the sort of narrative. And I had been able to sort of tap into a deeper sort of vulnerability that I'd never quite been able to access as a writer before. And it's then that I started to sort of feel like I was starting to address these deeper problems and anxieties. And it started to come out through the music. And that felt like it was worth recognizing and listening to and following.
Funnily enough, in that Splendor interview, the internet picked up a part where you did mention that you were thinking about writing, you were trying different stuff for this third album, and the internet went wild with that. Were any of these songs now on Leap? Because I know that you were done with this album in 2020, right? But then the pandemic hit.
Yeah. There's one song that I've been sort of toying with for a long time that I actually wrote. There's only one case of this on Leap. I wrote it around the time I was making Electric Light.
Right.
It's called Endless Summer Nights, and I've always adored it. And I couldn't get it to fit on Electric Light, but I've found a way to sort of shape it into something that feels like it absolutely belongs, because the essence and the core of the song were always something that I never wanted to leave. Anyway, so that's sort of one example, or the main example of that. Otherwise, it was sort of 2019 writing and onwards that have gone into Leap. And yeah, I went to Nashville in 2020, having written for most of 2019, and at the top of 2020, I was still writing, even up until a week before I went to Nashville, thinking, I've got this album, but I'll just try another session and I'll try sit down and write another song. And I remember getting a song called One Life right before I went to Nashville. And it ended up being a turning point, that song, for the sort of overall narrative of the album. I took it to Nashville and I made an album. I worked with a great producer called Dave Cobb, and we made this album, and I came home and it was finished in my mind, and we needed to mix it and master it and then get to releasing it later in 2020. And then the pandemic came and I said to everybody, hey, don't worry, you know, we just got to wait a couple of weeks for this thing to blow over. That did not happen.
Remember that when you were like, oh yeah, like I guess we'll just wait till next month and it'll be fine.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, wow. I do. I remember, I think we all sort of actually remember that moment vividly.
Yeah.
And then quickly try and forget it really and forget all of that time. But it was never going to happen. I was going to put that album out in 2020. And I was even telling fans and I was doing interviews, it's coming. And all in the spirit of sort of hope and sort of goodwill and all of that. It didn't work. So it was a very overwhelming time for everybody. And I think just as a songwriter trying to sort of, lots of people said to me, are you writing about this crazy thing that's going on? Nah. I don't know how to do that. That's massive. Like, and it felt like ridiculous to sort of almost try and make the thing about me. Like, I can't say, hey, I'm struggling in this pandemic in a song. I don't know. And no disrespect to people who found ways to do it. And I know people did. And that's cool. That's important that it was possible. But I just couldn't tackle it. So towards the end of 2020, finally accepting the album wasn't coming out that year, and probably not in 2021. I just sort of, I started to kind of write again, found a way to do it. And I got a few songs between then and kind of springtime 2021. I wrote lots of songs, and a few of them off the back of the narrative and the emotions in One Life. That's why I call that sort of a turning point song. I got it all to blossom further than I actually had initially. And it became this album of hope and this album of kind of positivity and actually vulnerability and an amount and a degree and a depth of vulnerability that I have not been able to or had the courage to kind of go to and access before as a writer.
Coming up, Leap is finally out in the world, but is there even more new music in the works for James Bay? That's next on The Plug. If you head over to Audio Technica's website right now, you can pick up their new ATH CK S50TW True Wireless in-ear headphones. These buds sound incredible with all types of music, they offer great noise cancelling, and have 20 hours of playback without even using the charging case. To get your hands on a pair, simply head on over to audiotechnica.com.
You mentioned earlier as well that you're inspired by artists who change it up a lot. I remember seeing that 2018 headline show. I think you did Sydney State Theatre, which for people don't know is this beautiful theatre, obviously. It's used primarily for a lot of comedy shows. I remember when I heard the gig was there, I was like, oh, that's an interesting venue. That was like a genuine rock show. You think people who have heard your first album, they think, okay, cool, like it's a songwriter, maybe an acoustic guitar, brilliant voice. We went to the show and I was like, what the fuck? Like that was a genuine rock and roll show. Now, having heard this third album, it, like you said, it's, you kind of stripped it back a bit, but there is a lot of positivity and hope there. Is this album kind of just a standoff for where you're at now? Or is this the direction you want to move in for the next album? Or are you going to change it up all over again?
Great question. It's a little bit too early to tell. I smile when you recognize the rock show.
Oh, dude.
But it's so much a part of what inspires me to make music, rock and roll music, whether it's Springsteen or the Stones or Kings of Leon or the Killers. That really is kind of what turns me on. I'm a singer songwriter, sure, to put it simply and basically, because it's me and a guitar and it's all from it, you know, it's stories, and that's such a huge part of what I do. But throwing those two things together, basically speaking, is a big part of what I recognize I'm best at and probably what I'm going to sort of explore going forward. But I'm always going to try and left foot everybody at some point. I can't just do what I or anyone thinks is completely expected. This album, Leap, you know, I've paired a few things back since Electric Light. Absolutely. I've tried to push guitars forward a little more and my voice is still sort of front and center. But it's a live band in the room for a lot of this album, which I've never really done before. You know, the drummer, there was no click track keeping us in time. The drummer counts us in and we go. And I always like it feeling kind of organic in some ways, and then with a few kind of left turns, a synthesizer there or a sort of affected snare drum or a strange sounding guitar that's sort of here and there. I can't have it all being sort of completely traditional, yeah, in terms of the sound. So that's what's kind of going on Leap, and I think that will inform things going forward. It seems to be the case for a lot of artists, definitely me, that I'm releasing an album, and I am to a degree thinking about the next one right now already.
Which you probably shouldn't, right? Because it's not even out yet. Just relax.
Correct.
Again, we've all been forced to be indoors for the last 2 years. Do you want to go on another big world tour? Do you want to take it a bit easy? Because I imagine, like when you were just talked earlier about the Electric Light Run you went on, then coming home, it's like when you achieve anything big and massive and great, you're like, okay, well now I'm sad. What do you do now? Is the key just keep moving forward, or do you kind of just step back and reassess a bit and take your time?
Post-tour blues has always been a bit of a thing. I think I'm trying to keep moving, actually. I'm trying to keep moving. Of the two sort of realities that you sort of brought up there, I'm trying to keep moving, use all the little gaps. It just to sort of, I don't know, about complicate things more, maybe, but in a very good way. Having had a baby recently, I have to organize my time better than I ever did before. I can't take any gaps and opportunities sort of for granted. And that's okay. It focuses me. It sharpens my focus, because I'm desperate to spend as much of my time as possible with my little baby and my family. But I sort of sometimes lay awake at night thinking about the record I want to make next, how I want to evolve as an artist, what I want to do even with these songs on Leap, like live, like, you know, because I don't want to just perform them as they are. I will do a bit of that to sort of help people get to know them. But like, it's a sort of constantly spinning wheel in my mind, sort of for, you know, moving me forward sort of slowly but surely and gradually. And I don't know that I want to chill. I think I want to sort of, you know, plot out my moments to chill with my family and then spend the bits in between that post this album and after the touring, because we're going to do a whole bunch of touring the rest of this year. And that doesn't even include Australia and New Zealand and all those places yet. Yeah. And I really want to go there because I've had such a brilliant time there before. I always miss being there, actually. I've played some of my favorite shows ever in Australia. So I don't know if I want to do any slowing down is my answer.
I spoke to a lot of artists, particularly during the pandemic, and they're like, they're promoting an album and then they might be like, oh, surprise, I'm also going to be releasing an album next week just because they've been forced to be inside. Do you have a timeline for this, or do you just want to stay busy?
My timeline, the only timeline I have is my one in my head, which is kind of as soon as possible. 2023, it would not be a problem for me if I had an album to release that year, but the hard truth is I've got songs to write. You know, that I don't have it yet. I think I've got some stuff for it. I really do. Or at least I've got the sort of inspiration for it. But then thinking I've got songs and then getting down to writing and maybe writing better ones, is they're two different scenarios. So you know what I'm trying to say is I can think I've got some of the album now, the fourth album. But when I get down to writing and really start to sort of flesh out what I'm doing, it might take a different sort of form and shape shift a bit. And then we'll see. But I want to move a bit faster. And it's not really a sort of playing catch up thing. I think I wanted to do this before a pandemic was even a reality. I wanted to put an album out in 2020, tour it, and then see if 2021 or 2022 could be an album from me then as well.
So you've got a US tour with the Lumineers, I believe, in August. And then I think you've got Europe from November.
Yeah, and then a whole run in the UK as well.
Yeah, and we haven't even gotten to Australia yet. Are you anticipating that might be mid to late 2023?
I'd love it to be sooner. I would love it to be sooner than that. I'd love to start 2023 going to Australia and coming out that way. And yeah, we did in 2016, we were out there for about 3 or 4 weeks. I can't remember how long it was. Maybe it was 3 weeks. And then we sort of did a little bit of Asia and a little bit of New Zealand as well. And it made for such a brilliant tour and so many shows in the same kind of part of the world. I know that that's a big stretch of the world, that. But I'd love to do that kind of thing again. And just, I think when you're going that far, it's good to sort of try and base yourself on that time zone for a minute. And doing that in 2016 felt incredible. The shows were so much fun, and I'd love to at least try and sort of replicate that soon.
Yeah, well, it was almost 4 years to the day we did the Splendor interview, so let's talk again in July 2026, and we'll reassess everything, okay?
We'll agree to that, and maybe a little beverage in between. We'll grab a beer at some point.
Like that. James, nice. Thank you so much, man. Congratulations on the album, and yeah, we look forward to seeing you soon, man.
Thank you, Neil. Take it easy.
This episode is proudly sponsored by Audio Technica Australia. Subscribe, rate, and review The Plug on your preferred podcast platform. And follow us on Instagram and YouTube at The Plug with Neil Griffiths and on TikTok at theplug.podcast to stay up to date with episode releases and giveaways.